Checky check, check, 1, 2, checky check, checky, checky check, check, 1, 2, checky. That was a little screwed up. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, and I almost sloshed hot tea on the keyboard as I was waving my arms around with the mug of hot tea in my hand. Oh, I shouldn't fucking do that. And don't forget the ever-present. The most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. That's how the shit goes down. Greetings, my friends and my enemies. Greetings to you all. Just in case you didn't know it, I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Simple Libertarian Society. And this right here, what you're listening to, is the Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. Stupid motherfucking state. As if there were a different kind of statist than stupid. I'm repeating myself, right? If you're a statist, you have to be stupid by definition. You may have noticed, if you care, that there was no podcast on Monday. There was also no podcast on Friday. As busy as fuck Monday, I'm not gonna lie, Monday there could have been a Friday I was busy as fuck, it just didn't happen. I thought about doing a repeat, I said fuck it, just let it go. Monday there could have been a podcast, but I'm not gonna lie, as busy playing computer games, or a computer game. And the computer game, so what happened was, in my computer at home, I had two NVIDIA cards, and one of them finally died. I knew this was coming. It was inevitable because the fan on it stopped turning like over a year ago. So I knew the day was coming when it was finally going to overheat and cook and die. So it finally did. And I pulled, pulled a video card out of another computer. And this is a Radeon-based video card. And I put it in. And I'm still trying to get the two of them to work in conjunction with each other in Linux, and it's pissing me the fuck off. But I finally got them going in Windows. And the problem with this is that the new video card is a much faster video card than the previous one. And the reason this is a problem is because having a faster video card allows me to play computer games that I previously couldn't play because my video card was too slow. And thus, I have been playing too much fucking computer game. I've been playing... my voice. Excuse me there, guys. Hold on, another drink of hot tea might do it. I have been playing... I can't think of what it's called. Dos Ex Human Revolution or something like that. It's one of these Steam games. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of like a first-person shooter, but it's more of a storyline to it. You have conversations and side quests and all this other stuff, and interactions with people. And the nice thing about it is you can go rogue in this game. If you play computer games, you'll know that. And, you know, I'm not a computer game master. I don't play a lot of computer games. I'm not up on all the newest stuff. But I know back in the olden days when you had to walk uphill to play a computer game, most of them had safeguards built in where you couldn't shoot anyone except for the bad guys. With this game, you can shoot anybody anytime. So it's kind of fun to just stop playing the game seriously and save where I'm at and just go on a shooting spree and just start shooting civilians and police officers. Because the game takes place in the future. Basically, your character is a cybernetically enhanced human, and you work for a corporation, as does everybody in this future apparently, and there are a bunch of wackos who don't want humans to have cybernetic implants, and so they're rioting and protesting us. And so I'm getting into the plot. Oh, but then also the government, like right now I'm down underground in this giant FEMA camp. It's a secret FEMA camp that has been set up that nobody knows about. So the government is portrayed in less than a positive light. So anyhow, it's in Detroit, and Detroit in this game looks like shit, just like Detroit does in real life. And there are members of the Detroit Police Department all over the streets wearing their body armor with their rifles. And then, of course, there's civilians. And so you can take your character and climb up on a high vantage point and just start sniping people. And all the police run to get you, and you can shoot them in the head. Then you go down and get all their ammo. So it's a lot of fun. It kind of takes out some stress. Yeah. Stress. I like taking that shit out. I like shooting civilians and police officers in a computer game. It's fun because, as I've talked about before with gaming, with role-playing games and with computer games, for me, the point of gaming, role-playing gaming or computer game gaming, is to do things you're not going to do in real life. That's why I don't like, when I'm gaming, playing these super goody two-shoes characters, which the previous gaming group I was with, that was their motif. And after a while, I couldn't do it anymore because everybody's so fucking goody two-shoe. I'm just like, God damn it, guys, we're playing a fucking fantasy game here. Where are my notes? Oh, hi, Randy. Hi, everybody. Hi, I'm the great one himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. In the control room, right over there on the other side of the glass, is the lovely and adorable Randy. If you want to send us email, it's God, dog spelled backwards, God, G-O-D, at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Give me Bitcoin. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe on Twitter. All right. Did I cover all the bases on that? Oh, yeah. Today is the 4th of February, 2015. All right, let's talk about some general bullshit before I get to the meat of this episode. Here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, they are working on another round of laws against smoking. They're going to expand the smoking laws. And recently there's an article on the web, on the internets, about one of the companies, I think it was Woodward Governor, but I can't remember for sure, I might be wrong, who is actually going to start testing people to see if they're smoking cigarettes. And if you smoke cigarettes at all, you're not going to be allowed. Hold on, I'm getting a text from a chick. All right, hold, Randy, stop everything. It's a text from a girl. I have to read this real quick. My God, that's hilarious. All right, I'll deal with that later. Wow, that is hilarious. All right, I'll deal with that later. God damn. Oh, they're so dumb. They're so dumb. It's like, I don't even know what to do when they're this dumb. Hang on. Okay, there's nothing else. All right, put that away. Dumb. Where was I? Yes. So this company is going to start not hiring people if they smoke cigarettes. Like, you smoke cigarettes, you can't get a job here. Which, I mean, has been done before. It's going to be done again. It's going to be done more. So anyhow, after all of this, I, for many moons, have been bitching, because that's what I do best, bitch, about leaf blowers. As I've said before, the reason leaf blowers are so goddamn popular is because there's nothing white people like more than looking out their window and seeing a brown person that doesn't speak English in their yard with a leaf blower. And I've bitched about how the leaf blowers, you know, spew all this chemical into the air, you know, global warming and all this other shit, and how they blow the dust, and so you've got leaves and dust and dirt, and, you know, if you're here in Fort Collins, you've got college kid vomit, and you've got dog poop, and you've got all this shit being kicked up into the air and blowing around. And, like, nobody gives a fuck about that. Now, somebody smoking a cigarette, we're going to have a goddamn motherfucking five-alarm goddamn red alert fucking call the National Guard. Because somebody's smoking a fucking cigarette outside. But the leaf blowers, you can leaf blow this shit all over the fucking place. Everybody's totally goddamn cool. Well, the state to the rescue. Apparently not. Apparently now in Fort Collins, now that we've managed to make smoking illegal almost every place, by we, I mean the government, they are now working on laws against dust. Yes, that's right, my friends. Laws against dust. Now, they put on the internet like all this shit about what this will include. I haven't had time to read it because, like all government documentation, it's like fucking pages and pages and pages and pages of shit. It's like, holy fuck, man. But there it is. At some point, I might attempt to decipher this shit. But my dream could come true. Now that we've made cigarettes illegal everywhere, maybe now we're going to make leaf blowers illegal. It's not often I support the state, but this is one of the few moments where I'm like, you know what? I can fucking get behind this. Everyone's a little bit statist, even me. Whatever it takes, whatever the fuck it takes to get the goddamn leaf blowers the fuck away from me. And you know what? If it takes a goddamn law, and if it takes statism, and if it takes fines and threats of violence, I really don't give a shit, because that's the world people want to live in. That's the world they're going to live in. That's how I'm looking at it. So anyhow, I'll post some links to this if I remember. Let me put it on my notes. Hang on. Link to this. Yeah. Let me go ahead and drop shit on the floor. I'll put the links in the show notes if I remember. Second thing to bitch about. Gevalia. I buy my coffee from them. And I was not getting my shipments for quite a time there. And I went in, and because they do this automatic shipment thing, so you can set it up like every so many weeks. You tell them what you want them to send, and they send it to you. So I went in, I set the thing back up, and I added to my order the little package of the packets of coffee pot cleaner, right? So stuff, you dump it in, so you put some water, you dump it into some water. It's powdered, right? And then you pour the water through your coffee pot and it cleans the inside of your coffee pot. It's like $3.50 a box for three of the little packets. So I ordered this. So my box shows up from Gevalia. It had been pre-opened and then taped back shut. Interestingly enough, I got another package from another company I bought some stuff from. That package had also been pre-opened when I got it. So it's interesting that I've gotten two packages through the postal system lately and they've both been pre-opened. Not, of course, that anybody could possibly be, I don't know, watching me or anything. That would never happen in this country. Certainly not to somebody who has a podcast talking about anarcho-capitalism. A couple of other pieces of my mail and envelopes have been pre-opened, actually. You know, Randy, this is in a way, I really don't think somebody from the government is opening my mail to see what's in it. But at the same time, here lately, I've had so much pre-opened mail that it actually is a little bit suspicious. So I got my box. It was pre-opened and then had been taped back shut. So I opened it up and my packets of coffee were inside there. The packet of coffee pot cleaner was not inside there. So the government agent stole that because probably their coffee pot hasn't been cleaned in ages. So they figured they were going to take that, clean their coffee pot. And that's not even the point of the story. Here's the point of the story. So I go to Gavalia's website to report this and see what can be done. And there's not any way. It's like with Amazon, right? You can go, you find your order, and you can report a problem with this order, right? It's got like that link or something, and you report a problem with that specific order. Gavalia has no such thing. And this is all coming around to shitty customer service and fucking old people and people who talk in all capital letters and shit like that. So I finally find this contact us form on there. So it's like, and then I gotta put in my name and my fucking phone number. It's like, dude, I'm fucking logged in. You have all my goddamn information. I'm logged into your website. I have an account with you. Why can't I send you? And the, you know, it's like, hello, it's 2015. Can you guys get with the goddamn plan? Why do I have to type this information in when I have a fucking account with you? I'm logged in. You already know my goddamn name. You already know my fucking phone number. So I type all this shit in, and I send them a fucking message, and I tell them, hey, it's not, this thing wasn't in the box, but you billed me for it, yada, yada. I get this email back from one of these do not reply emails. It says, oh, well, wait, hold on. Where the fuck is it? Let me see if I can find it. Where? Hey, I got it. Good thing I had my email open. All right, here we go. Listen to this. I'm sorry to hear the clean calf was missing from your Gavalia order. I want to let you know we make every effort to ensure our products meet the high standards and quality you've come to expect from our company. Okay, is this has anything to do with high standards and quality? It's not fucking there, so you can tell it's a form letter. In order to better assist you, I need to obtain additional information regarding your purchase. Okay, you have all the information about my purchase on file already. I fucking purchased it from you. What possible information could they possibly fucking need? I purchased the shit from them through their website. Please contact our customer service line at 1-800-GAVALIA so we can obtain additional information and further assist you. They want me to fucking call them on the telephone. It is the year 2015. Have you people at Gavalia heard of this thing called email? I am not going to fucking call you and spend time on the phone over a goddamn $3.50 fucking packet. Are you people fucking retarded? The answer is yes, they are. This is called shitty customer service. This is the kind of problem that should be solved via email. He ends with, again, or he, she, it, whatever it is, Kim, oh, it's a girl. Kim McMiller is the Associate Director of Consumer Relations. Associate Director of Consumer Relations. Well, your consumer relations suck, honey. All right, so then she ends with, again, I apologize for this experience. Thank you for your loyalty, and we hope to hear from you soon. Honey, you have all the information about my fucking order. I ordered it from you. It's a goddamn fucking little box of plastic packets with powder in them. It costs $3.50. Put the fucking thing in a box and ship it to me, or else take it off the fucking bill. One or the other. I do not need to fucking call you and have some goddamn conversation. because you're fucking lonely or something. The fuck is wrong with you old people and this shit you have? Well, call me on the telephone. I'm not gonna fucking call you on the telephone. I have shit to do. I have shit to do. So I'm debating, do I call them and make fun of them in person, or do I send them another email through their contact form and make fun of them via email? I haven't decided yet, one of those things. Or do I just blow it the fuck off? Because again, it's a $3.50 fucking packet. It's not that big of a deal. Other than it's just really annoying because it's the year 2000 fucking 15 and there's these old people that still want to do shit on the telephone instead of just doing it on email. That moment of silence was brought to you by the letter K. K for cunt. The letter K. My mug of hot tea. And girls. Speaking of girls, so there's a girl. There's another one. There's so many of them. God. Oh. So I've spoken before. I've spoken before about how girls who have dogs are, shall we say, mentally broken. And by mentally broken, I mean mentally broken. Emotionally dysfunctional. And every time I meet a girl who owns a dog, or God help us, dogs, or even worse, rescue dogs, it's just one more piece of evidence. So I meet this girl, she's got a dog, of course, because they all have dogs around here, but she told me the reason she got a dog was so that she would never have to be alone. Now boys, this is another public service announcement for the guys out there. When a chick tells you something like, I got a dog so that I'll never have to be alone, this is telling you a multitude of things. One of them being that you should fucking run like hell. Find the nearest exit and just get out. The reason she needs a dog so that she's not alone is, of course, because she cannot form any kind of relationship with men. This chick also is like, has a completely fucked up relationship with her entire family, from everything she's told me. And yet, still spends every holiday with her family, still jumps whenever her family says jump. And we'll come to some more about that in a minute. But she has the dog so that she never has to be alone because she can't form any kind of meaningful relationships and interactions with human beings. But the other thing about this, which is a warning sign, is whenever somebody tells you they don't want to be alone, right? When someone says to you, I got a dog so I never have to be alone, what they're saying is they don't want to be alone with themselves. And here's something to always keep in mind. If you have a person over here who does not want to be alone with himself or herself, the reason for this is because this person is a shitty person, and they know it. Because think about it, if you don't want to be alone with yourself, why in the hell would anybody else want to be alone with you? That was smooth. If only you could see what goes on in the studio. Wow. while we are recording this. That was brilliant, was it not? So I'm trying to get some hand lotion out of the... Yeah, this could be dangerous. I was trying to get some hand lotion out of the... squirt bottle, whatever the fuck you call this thing. You know, it's hand lotion. It comes in the bottles and you push the little top and the fucking lotion comes out. I was trying to get some lotion out of the bottle. It wasn't coming out. And I just... Oh, there it goes. That was disgusting. And it went all over the microphone stand. Okay. Yes. We take ourselves very seriously here, don't we, Randy? You know why? It's because we don't mind being alone with ourselves. Randy and I are emotionally healthy human beings. We can be alone. I can be alone by myself in a room and I'm just fine. I can meditate. I can think. I can ponder. I can do all sorts of stuff because I'm not emotionally unstable. And so when some... Yes, let me go ahead and just squirt hand lotion all over my fucking shirt. That was brilliant. This is what you guys tuned in for, right? Was to listen to me squirting hand lotion on my shirt. God damn it. This is fucking quality podcasting right here. If you can't be alone with yourself, nobody else is going to want to be alone with you. And when somebody tells you some shit like that, that is a major indicator. Major, major indicator. That you're dealing with somebody who's seriously fucked up. Now, speaking of fucked up, her whole family thing, and I'm going to walk away from the microphone for a minute, so everybody just hold on. Let me fucking fall over and kill myself. I'm telling you, having a video of what goes on in here would be the shit. Of course, then I have to wear pants. So anyhow, she told me, and this is the kind of thing, I can't make this up. She told me that, because I was talking about, I said something to the effect of, do you realize that the majority of your problems stem from your family? This is just after she had finished telling me about how her mother this and her father that and her brother this and her grandfather that and her grandmother and blah, and just on and on and on. And I'm like, do you realize that you have all these problems that stem from your family? And she says, yes, but I'm the youngest one in our family, and so This is the quote. I wrote this down. And therefore, she is, quote, responsible for taking care of the family and making the hard decisions, unquote. She is responsible for taking care of the family and making the hard decisions because she is the youngest member of the family. Of all the grandchildren, of all, she's the youngest one. Now, maybe it's just me. I find this baffling. Let's say you have this unit of people. It's a family. And so you want in the family, within this unit, somebody to be responsible for the unit and to make the quote-unquote hard decisions, whatever in the fuck that means. How fucking stupid do you have to be to choose, as that person, the youngest, the least experienced person in the group? You see, this is why native tribes survive under conditions that white people from North America couldn't survive under. Because if you go to, like, to the Amazon or the fucking plains of Africa or the steppes of Mongolia or some shit, and you find the family and tribal units there, I guarantee you the person who is in charge, the person who is responsible, the person who's making the hard decisions is not the fucking youngest person in the village. It's the old people. Because under those conditions, if you live to be 60 years old, it's because you're really fucking smart. Because in those conditions, a lot of people die when they're young. And so it's the old people who make the goddamn decisions because they have the wisdom. Here in the United States, we have everything completely fucking backwards from the way evolution intends it to be. Again, the state, how many times have I talked about this? The state has circumvented evolution. Here in the United States, our old people are so fucking stupid. They have to be protected from everything because they're completely goddamn helpless. None of them can provide for themselves. And so the young people are running things. I mean, here is a family unit which has delegated the responsibility and the hard decisions to the youngest member of their family. Not to mention a member of their family who is mentally unstable, has a very low self-confidence, and is terrified of being alone. And I'm just looking at this and I'm going, what the fuck? It's just so dumb. I feel like I don't even know how to deconstruct this to illustrate how stupid it is. We also have here this whole element where, well, my family treats me like shit, but they're my family. And this whole idea that just because somebody's genetically related to you, the fact that you should keep them in your life when they treat you like shit is another thing I just find absolutely ridiculous. But again, she's very clearly mentally unstable, and it's just like, fuck, man. But I just thought I had to share that with you. I had to share that with you because I found it to be absolutely fucking hilarious. The youngest member of the family is in charge of the hard decisions and being responsible for the family. And this very well sums up, again, where we are as a society. We're the old people, the baby boomers, and everybody else. They're all just these old, they're just incompetent. They've gone through their whole lives, they've never grown up, and now these people expect their youngest daughter to make their decisions for them and keep them together and keep them intact. Okay, anyway, moving on. Moving forward. Moving to what I'm going to talk about today. Yes, you know, 34 minutes into the podcast, we'll get to the good stuff. I had to get all that out. Okay, this is from Tuesday, November 11th, 2014. This is the Rocky Mountain Collegian. For those of you new to the podcast, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, we have the university, Colorado State University. The Collegian is the college newspaper. I read a lot of stuff from the Collegian because, first of all, it's free, and second of all, it illustrates how stupid these kids are. This is absolutely fucking hilarious to me. Here we go. The truth behind the impeachment. So there's this thing called the ASCSU, the Associated Students of Colorado State University. So it's like a governing body, but it's not a governing body. Basically, it's a bunch of college kids, and they have a pretend government, and they get a bunch of money because CSU actually takes money away from all the students in the form of fees, and then gives that money to the ASCSU to spend. So the ASCSU is like this fake government at CSU that allows little college kids to pretend, oh, look at me, I'm a senator, because they call themselves senators. And every year they have a president, and he gets to call himself the president. I'm the president of the ASCSU. Look at me, I'm pretending to be in government. Woo! And so anyway, this is hilarious. This person, Kwon Yearby, so I think you pronounce his name, K-W-O-N, is his first name, Kwon Yearby, Y-E-A-R-B-Y. So if I'm mispronouncing it, deal with it, because I mispronounce shit all the time. So what I do here, because it's a good thing I don't fucking talk on this podcast, right? I have a podcast, there's no talking. I don't need to know how to pronounce the words. Fuck it. Here we go. I'm going to read, I'm going to analyze, I'm going to laugh. This is fucking hilarious. And this is going to illustrate to you, again, let's come back to, I've got this girl and she has to have a dog because she can't be alone because she's so mentally fragile and she doesn't like being with herself. Everything you see about these people under the age of 30, all you see here is the fragileness of their egos. How incredibly fucking fragile they are, and how everything around them is harassment, right? Anytime, anything in the world, as I've said before, what our entire society here in the United States has reached the point where it is based around the concept that a white woman must never feel discomfort. Right, if any white woman feels slightly uncomfortable for anything, well, it's discrimination, it's racism, it's sexism, it's harassment, and all this other shit. All right, let me get the fuck into this before we run out of time. Not that we ever run out of time on this podcast. That would never happen. Because I'm always on track, on target, and on time, just like Mulligan. That's a Kelly's Heroes reference. If you haven't seen the movie Kelly's Heroes, you need to watch it. It's fucking badass. One of the best war movies ever made. All right, shall we do this? Randy, should we do this? Should I do this? I should do this? I thought you would say that. Randy's telling me to get the fuck on with it instead of fucking around. All right. Former ASCSU Senator Kwon Yearby was impeached for cases of harassment and intimidation, according to witness testimony obtained by the Collegian. So he was impeached for harassment and intimidation. Need you to keep this in mind. Harassment and intimidation. By the way, let me mention that Kwon Yearby is a black man. Now see, this is beautiful for another moment. This is really important to understand that there's probably no black people who listen to this podcast, but if you do, you need to understand you're not as privileged as you think you are. Because black people, a lot of black people think that, you know, they can play the race card and that they get out of jail free. I have news for you. You are not the top minority anymore. There are people who can play cards that trump your race card. And that's a big part of what we're going to see in this article. This guy's a black guy. There are very few black. A friend of mine got a calendar from CSU, and we're looking through the set calendar. It's got these pictures of these students. And in one picture, it was four black people. And I was like, holy shit, how did they find four black people on CSU campus? For those of you not from, don't know anything about Fort Collins, this is like the most white bread place you ever saw in your life. I think, and I haven't confirmed this, somebody told me that. And that's, this may or may not be true, but somebody told me that according to the latest census data, Fort Collins is 88% white, which I believe, because you very rarely see, you see some Mexican people here and you see some Orientals, you very rarely see black people. And so this is the joke. It's like four black people in the same place on CSU campus. It's like, you know, that was staged. You can go to CSU campus and you have to walk around for a good 30 minutes to find a black person. So anyhow, I'm sure that Kwon thought that his status as a black man was going to help him out. But as he finds out in this story, there are other people who can play the cards that trump his race card. Namely, white women. Because you see, anytime a white woman is uncomfortable, oh, somebody's going down. Because white women, they cannot be uncomfortable. That would be the worst thing in the world. All right, let me get back. Should I fucking read this or what? Randy, where are we at on time? Fucking Christ, I got 12 minutes left. All right, I should get my shit together. The accusations range from, listen to this. These are the accusations against him. They range from forcing unwanted conversations to threats of impeachment of other senators. So you see, they impeached him because he was having conversations with people that didn't want to have conversations with him. And they impeached him because he said other people should be impeached. I will pause for laughter. And here's the thing. If you're not laughing at this, you're probably a statist. Because every anarcho-capitalist who hears that. Yes, he was accused of forcing unwanted conversations. Can we? I know I only have 11 minutes left, but can we pause and fucking allow that to sink in? We have reached a point in this country. We're in, and yes, it's just a fake government thing. And people say, well, why is this significant? No, it's significant because these filthy, nasty little shits, these filthy, nasty little college kids, these little fucking sissified Nancy boy shits are going to go out into the world. And they are going to take with them the idea that other people should be punished for things like, quote unquote, I'm making little quoties in the air with my fingers, forcing unwanted conversations. Right? This is the root of where women think that if a man walks up to them and says hello, that they've been sexually harassed. That's the mentality that this comes from. And as these little shits go out into the world, they're going to take this attitude with them. That's why this is important. Because the day is coming, and for many of us, for me and for many of you listening to this, when this day comes, we're going to be 60, 70 years old. But the day is going to come when if you walk up to a woman on the street and say hello, it's going to be harassment, and you're going to get arrested for it. Because they're so fucking delicate and fragile that this will be a case of forcing unwanted conversation. I mean, here in Fort Collins, we'll probably fucking, the government, well, I mean, not we, the government will probably pass a fucking ordinance against forcing unwanted conversations. Okay, Randy, have I fucked around long enough? Yes, all right. There has been controversy surrounding ASCSU's closed impeachment hearing. Remember now, we have Obama, the most open administration ever, whom these people worship, but these impeachment hearings are closed to the public. Because, you know, openness, transparency, right? Closing the meeting to the public would have been illegal for a government body under Colorado open meetings laws, and Yerby has questioned whether the meeting also violated his Sixth Amendment right to due process. Now, of course, he's being impeached. He was not allowed in while he was being impeached, apparently. CSU officials have since confirmed that ASCSU is not a government body and therefore not subject to Colorado open meeting law. Yerby has reached out to the ACLU for legal counsel. And again, this is teaching young people that you don't have a right to face your accusers, you don't have a right to defend yourself, that the criminal justice industrial complex is something that does to you whatever it wants to do, and your duty is to just shut the fuck up and deal with it. Senator Jason Sudorska has questioned the validity of Yerby's impeachment. Quote, I don't think they being the Senate, I don't think they will impeach him based on the evidence against him, Sudorska said Wednesday before the decision was made. Quote, I think he will be impeached based on what people know of his character. Now let's listen to this quote again. I don't think the Senate will impeach him based on the evidence against him. So you see, he's going to be impeached, but it's not going to be based on any evidence. It's going to be based on what people know of his character. And again, stop and think about this for a second. We've just admitted that his impeachment is not based on any evidence. Is this really this fucking hard for you statists to understand? He is being impeached, not based on any evidence. We have, fuck evidence, we don't need. It's like this one fucking cunt said on Twitter. Something she, there was this tweet, I saw it. God, I wish I just fucking saved it. Something like, evidence is discrimination. All that matters is a person's experience. Again, this is the attitude that these filthy little college shits are taking forth. This guy is admitting, we are not going to impeach him based on evidence. We are going to impeach him based on, quote, what people know of his character, unquote. They are going to impeach him based on their feelings about him. These little shits are the future of the criminal justice industrial complex. These little shits, as they go into the world, are going to, you know, create the tone of our society. They're going to help set the standards for how people interact with each other. They're impeaching this guy because he was, quote, forcing unwanted conversations. And they have no evidence against him, as they admit. There's no evidence. We're just impeaching him based on our personal feelings about his character. So, what are these unwanted conversations and threats? Well, let's hear some details about that. Randy, we're going over. Just deal with it, because I'm not going to do a two-parter out of this. But we're going to go long, okay? I know, you hate me. It's okay. I'm used to being hated. Take a motherfucking number. Take a fucking number. In one instance, Yerby sent an email to Speaker Pro Temp Brandon Earle asking for a bill he authored to be included in the Senate agenda for that week. Speaker Earle responded by saying that Yerby missed the deadline for that week, which he said was noon Monday. Yerby responded by citing the ACSU website, which states, quote, to submit legislation to appear before the Senate, please email it to all three leaders of the Senate of the following by no later than 5 p.m., the Monday of the week in which you would like the legislation to come up. Okay, so Yerby sends the email before 5 p.m., the guy who is the, we're assuming, I don't actually know, he sent it before 5 p.m. The Speaker Earle responds, you didn't meet the deadline. So Yerby writes back and says, yeah, I did meet the deadline. Here's the fucking deadline. It's on our goddamn website. I mean, so far, this seems pretty cut and dried. Is there a fucking ACSU website? Yes, there is. Does it say anything about the requirements to submit a bill for discussion? Yeah, it does. Does it say Monday 5 p.m.? It either does or it doesn't. If it says Monday 5 p.m. and Yerby sent the email before Monday 5 p.m., he made the deadline. If he didn't, he didn't make the deadline. There's no fucking discussion here. This is fucking black and white. This is binary. Okay, this is male-female, which I know is offending all the transgendered and non-binaries and hetero-flexible motherfuckers out there in the GLBTKKK. All right, but no, he either sent the fucking email before 5 p.m. or he didn't. There's nothing to discuss here. There's no fucking discussion. Remember, he's being impeached. Yes, it's a bullshit organization. Yes, it's a bunch of stupid little fucking filthy college kids playing student government. But the point is, these little fuckers are going to coin a phrase, be the future of America, which is sad because they don't know that America is a fucking continent. The country they live in is called the United States, okay? They're fucking pathetic. They're fucking stupid, but they're the future of America. And this is the mindset they have. This is why this is important. It's just like the mindset of the salesman I talked about who fucking wrote emails to me in all capital letters. It's just like the mindset of the people at Gavalia. It's 2015. You want me to call you on the telephone and have a fucking discussion with you about a goddamn fucking packet of goddamn coffee pot cleaner that costs $3.50, okay? It's the fucking mindset. The stupidity, the ignorance, the fucking mindset. Let me keep reading. Yearby followed this by writing that not allowing the bill to appear before the Senate that week was unconstitutional and threatened to impeach Speaker Earl. Something like that, right? They're impeaching Yearby for saying he was going to impeach other people, but we're not going to impeach Earl for not knowing the fucking rules and not applying them and being a douchebag. Quote, this is a quote from Earl, from Speaker Earl. Quote, I felt personally threatened by this slanderous act. I can't fucking talk. I felt personally threatened by this slanderous act, but after talking with my direct supervisor, decided not to act on it, unquote, Earl wrote in the testimony. His direct supervisor? Again, I discussed it with my slave master because I'm not smart enough to make a decision on my own. He felt threatened by this person saying, hey dumbass, you don't know the fucking rules of the organization which we are both a member of, which are on our fucking website for you to read at any goddamn time, and so if you don't learn the fucking rules and apply them, I'm going to see if I can have you impeached for being an idiot. So far as I'm concerned, right now at this point, Yearby 1, ASCSU 0. Alright, we're gonna play the fucking outro music, because that's how we do shit here, and then I'm gonna keep talking, because this is a great chance for me to refill my water bottle. Okay, and it's also a chance for me to send a text to another one of these chicks. Okay, so he felt personally, all right, he felt personally threatened by this, but he talked to his supervisor. Oh my God. Read your own fucking website. Figure out when the deadline is. Okay. This is not the only testimony of Yearby threatening to impeach a fellow ASCSU member. So why is it so terrible to threaten to impeach ASCSU members if they are in fact impeaching Yearby? If impeaching ASCSU people is so terrible, and he's only threatened to impeach other people, so he's being impeached for threatening to impeach other people. So if you actually impeach somebody, like what they're doing, well, shouldn't they be impeached? Does this... And yes, I know those of you who are statists, well, in the bylaws, it probably has some information about. For everybody who's an ANCAP, we see how fucking ridiculous this is. We're going to impeach somebody. It's like saying if you threaten to kill somebody, you're going to be killed. But if you kill people, it's totally fine. This is not the only testimony of Yerby threatening to impeach a fellow ASCSU member. According to testimony from Senator Kelsey Bigham, I wonder if she's got a big ham. Kelsey Bigham, Yerby threatened to impeach her as many as 4 times. Now, you know, the guy may be throwing around the word impeachment a little more than he should, if all of this is true. But then again, you know, it's kind of a fun word to say, impeach. All right, anyway. Yerby threatened to impeach her as many as 4 times. Well, was it 4 times or not? We mean as many as. Either it was 4, it was less than 4, it was more than 4. Big Ham, with her big ham, also accused Yerby of repeatedly pestering her to be his running mate for president of ASCSU, despite repeatedly saying no. You see, he was pestering her. You see, in case you haven't figured this out yet, Kelsey Big Ham is a white woman. And have I mentioned that our entire society revolves around making sure white women never experience discomfort? You see, he was pestering her to be his running mate in the presidential race for ASCSU. She claims that he was discriminating against her based on her gender. You see, pestering her to be his running mate for political office is, to a white woman, sexual discrimination. Again, you say to me, why is this important? And I say to you, because these little shits are going to go out into the world. They're going to take this attitude of, I was being pestered. Now, there's not enough information in here to define what is pestering. Was he sending her 10 text messages and 10 emails a day, and was he coming to her door and knocking on it? Or did he, over the course of a 3-month period, ask her about this, say, 10 times? Right? There's no information provided so that we can put this in a context, because that's another important thing of where our society has gone, is that context no longer matters. All that matters is a white woman felt uncomfortable, and somebody must be punished. I just want to read this again in full context. Big Ham, with her big ham, also accused Yerby of repeatedly pestering her to be his running mate for the president of ACSU, despite repeatedly saying no. She claims that he was discriminating against her based on her gender. Quote, he has a very powerful and persistent personality, unquote, Bigham wrote in her testimony. Quote, when speaking to me in particular, these actions make me feel very uncomfortable, unquote. You see, he has a powerful and persistent personality. In other words, he is masculine. He has a powerful and persistent personality. Yes, that's what men have. This is part of this desire that women have for all men to become feminized. And then, of course, here it is. When speaking to me in particular, against her in particular, she doesn't give a shit about anybody else, but when speaking to her in particular, these actions made me feel very uncomfortable. You see, Kelsey Bigham, she's a white woman, and she felt uncomfortable. And now, Yearby must pay the price for having a powerful and persistent personality. You see, he's not a fucking pussy. He's not feminized. He doesn't play well with the other children, apparently. He's maybe trying to get things done. Maybe he has some goals in life. Maybe he wants to do something. Maybe he's a powerful person who has a persistent personality and wants to accomplish shit. And he thought he was going to do that. Well, I think Yearby is learning his motherfucking lesson. I think he's learning that being black doesn't trump being a white girl anymore. Because white women in North America are the second most privileged group of people on the planet. The only people more privileged than them, of course, being the handicaps. She felt very uncomfortable. So we're going to impeach him. Well, ACSU is going to impeach him. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. That's just a bad speaking habit, which I have to get out of. ACSU is going to impeach him because a white woman felt uncomfortable because he has a personality. Yearby 2, ACSU 0. Along with this instance, Bigham submitted a text message she received from Yearby after the letters of impeachment were brought before the Senate. Quote, this is the text message Yearby sent to Bigham. Quote, although I cannot wrap my head around why you would do this to me, I am holding on hope that it was truly justified in your mind or that it was a simple misunderstanding. Unquote. I can tell you, Mr. Yearby, exactly why she's doing this to you. Because she is a white woman who experienced discomfort. And when a white woman experiences discomfort in the year 2015 in North America, somebody's going to fucking pay the price. Because white women cannot be allowed to experience discomfort. Oh, and the text message continues. In either case, I wish you would have talked to me first. Unquote. Because, of course, we all know women are such wonderful communicators. That they just communicate so well. And those men, why men just cannot talk about their feelings. Men just can't communicate like we women can. Women are so great at communicating. They have so great communication skills. Yearby also mentioned that he considered Bigham to be one of his friends in the Senate. Well, Mr. Yearby, if these are your friends, this might explain why you're having all these problems. You should pick your friends with some... I was trying to think of a pick-your-nose joke, and I couldn't come up with one, thus the hesitation. You should pick your friends like you pick your nose, not very often and not in sight of other people. How's that? You got to have some standards for your friends, Yearby, and it sounds to me like you don't. I've not actually seen a picture of this chick because, of course, they put pictures of Kwon Yearby in here, but they didn't put pictures of her. She's probably ugly. Or she's hot and he wanted to boink her. I don't know. Anyway, the point is I'd like to see what she looks like, to see if she's really hot and super fucked up in the head, or if she's really ugly and super fucked up in the head. Yearby also mentioned that he considered Bigham to be one of his friends in the Senate and hoped that they could continue to be friends despite the impeachment. Okay, Yearby, that's called being a beta male. When some fucking cunt impeaches you in your little fake student government, you don't... That's like, well, she accused me of rape, but I want to still be friends with her. Now, okay, this, you've lost on this one. This is complete fucking beta male behavior. She has just shit in your face, and you still want to be friends with her? He also, he being Quan Yirbi, he also called himself self-aware, acknowledging the fact that he can be overly passionate at times. That's more beta male behavior. Well, I'm overly passionate. For what? For a girl? Yeah. You're overly passionate by what standards? I mean, what the fuck are you talking about? Again, if you're going to be... Okay, so if you're overly passionate... Again, this means you need to fucking pick and choose your friends. Okay, you need to save your overly passionateism for the right people, right? Randy, would you or would you not agree that I am the Great One himself? Yes, exactly. Would you or would you not agree that I am overly passionate about hating statism? Exactly. Now, when we go somewhere together, do I fucking run up to everybody around me and be all like, oh my god, statism, and statists suck, and pigs suck, and statism, and anarcho-capitalism? No, of course, do I do that? No. Because you fucking put a lid on it. You save your passion for the people you can trust with it, for the people who can handle it, for the people who have that same vision that you have. You don't waste your passion on fucking pieces of shit like Big Ham. Senator Samuel Laffey submitted an incident report from March 11th. According to the report, Yirbi accused Laffey of telling other senators not to trust him. Laffey denied doing this. Later that evening, Yirbi asked Laffey if he feared him, to which Laffey replied that he did not. Now again, there's no context about, so do you fear me? Well, this question could be asked in a lot of different ways. Right, you can come up to somebody and say, hey, motherfucker. You know, because that's what they do in the movies when they have guns. They always pick up the gun and they fucking like chamber around because they've been walking around without a round in the chamber. It's like fucking retarded, man. You don't fucking chamber around right before, you know, because it's like I have that, so it sounds all like macho and shit. It's like you don't know anything about guns, do you, you stupid motherfucker? You fucking lock and load before you go anywhere near the combat zone. So, did Yirbi walk up to him and like pull out his 9mm and go, do you fear me, motherfucker? Or did Yirbi walk up to him and say, hey man, do you fear me? We have no idea. We probably do, because probably it was recorded somewhere with all the cameras and microphones that are on campus. Anyway, quote, this is quoting Laffey, quote, later that night I told my parents about this and my mom became visibly upset. Once again, what happened? A white woman became uncomfortable. Once a white woman is uncomfortable, you know some heads are going to have to roll. The quote continues from Laffey. I feel that Quan's claims, while not of a physically threatening nature, constitute a verbal attack on my person and character. Unquote. So Quan's claims, he said right here, are not physically threatening nature, not of a physically threatening nature, but nonetheless they constitute a verbal attack on his person and character. Again, in this case it's a white man. A white man felt uncomfortable. Meanwhile, right, you know, and this is the crisis. It's an assault on his person, a verbal attack on his person and character. Meanwhile, your messiah, Hussein Obama, is murdering people with flying robots. There's shit tons of people in prisons getting ass raped. There's gang violence pushed mostly by the fact that they're selling drugs. Drugs are sellable on the black market for large amounts of money because of the war on drugs constantly by the federal government. You know, we got TSA agents touching little boys' penises and shit. But what's the crisis here? Crisis is that there is an attack on this poor little upper middle class white man's person and character. Again, this is important. These little shits are going to take this attitude out into the world, out into society, out into the workplace, out into the streets. This attitude is going to drive public policy in the future. This attitude is going to drive hate speech codes. This is going to drive ordinances and laws and regulations. This attitude is going to drive people being fined money, people being put in prison for things like forcing unwanted conversations. In 30 years from now, when these people are in power, forcing unwanted conversations is the sort of thing that will be against the law. Yerby defended himself by saying that he was not trying to intimidate Laffey, but he was under the impression that he was being lied to out of fear. Quote, "I believe that people usually lie out of some amount of fear," unquote, Yerby wrote in his defense. That's not an unreasonable way of analyzing things. Quote, "I genuinely believe that Sam lied when he said that he did not tell people not to trust me because I heard from multiple people that he did so," unquote. Were any of these multiple people? I don't know the answer to this, throwing this out, because this goes back to defending yourself in the Sixth Amendment. Did any of these people testify at this ACSU hearing? Well, no, of course not, because they were not impeaching him based on evidence. They were impeaching him based on their personal feelings about him. They had no evidence. They admitted it. They admitted, well, one of these senators admitted. Do you notice how when I speak, I attempt to speak with precision? You ever notice that? And all this shit, you notice how everything I'm reading to you, how nebulous it is? How there is no, yeah, like, he heard from multiple people. Great, where are these multiple people at who heard, who was it, Sam Laffey saying this shit? So where are these multiple people? Why aren't they testifying? Why aren't they being heard from? Well, because we don't give a fuck about evidence. We only care about the feelings of white women. And a white woman felt uncomfortable. Yerby's accusers also submitted statements regarding his behavior during Senate meetings. In several cases, Yerby is accused of disrupting the Senate by refusing to sit when asked by Vice President Lance LePuma and by speaking out of turn. He did not sit when he was told to by an authority figure. And he spoke out of turn. This is a quote. Quote, "These prior instances are non-conducive to creating a successful collaborative work environment due to the elements of intimidation, harassment, and coercion." Senator Andrew Bonde wrote in his statement, "You see, if you don't sit down when you're told to, that's harassment." This is the beautiful thing about words like intimidation and harassment and coercion. God, I can't fucking talk. they mean anything. In the sense like this, they can, these are more nebulous words, like I've talked before about hope and change, right? When Obama says change, what the fuck does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's completely nebulous. It means nothing because it has no context. Same thing here. What was it? He wouldn't sit down when he was told to. That's intimidation. He was talking out of turn. That's harassment. I mean, if you, and again, look at how fucking fragile these filthy little shit college students are. They're being harassed and intimidated by somebody talking out of turn. I mean, this is how fragile they are. That somebody talking out of turn is harassment. What the fuck are you good little shits gonna do when you go into the world and you have to deal with other people? Yerby claims in his defense that other senators are allowed to speak and make motions while standing, and he has the right to question rulings made by Lee Puma. I mean, we're arguing. This is an argument. This is how this is degenerate. Well, generally speaking, I have sympathy towards Yerby. At the same, like I said, he went beta male, and the fact that he's participating in this system to begin with, I don't have a lot of sympathy for him. But I mean, he's sitting here making this. This is your argument. Well, other senators are allowed to speak and make motions while they're standing up. I mean, again, listen to the fucking childishness of this. Well, the other senator was talking while he was standing up. Why can't I? And the other people, well, you can't talk while you're standing. I'm intimidated. These little shits are going to take this attitude. They're going to take their emotional fragility, and they're going to go into the world, and they are going to make laws based on their emotional fragility, based on their brokenness, based on their insecurity, based on their inability to cope with the world around them. And it's going to be a world that really fucking sucks.